But it's certainly true when you look at Ecclesiastes chapter number 9, you can't help but come away from that understanding that there's two things we can be guaranteed. Number one, there's that death is certain. That is a certainty in life. Again, Hebrews 9:27, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after it's the judgment. So we know there's a certainty of death, but then there's also the uncertainty of life. We don't know what's on the tomorrow. We don't know what's going to be down the road. And we can gather those truths out of Ecclesiastes chapter number 9. But here we look at this text. If I could preach on a thought tonight, it'd be on this poor wise man. He is listed here in a story and in account that Solomon has penned down here. And the Holy Spirit knew that we would need that at some point or the other. And as we look at this, there's great value in wisdom. One of the greatest things that we can possess is to have a proper fear and reverence toward God. I mean, we serve a thrice holy God. The reason we say a thrice holy God, but thrice meaning three, is when Isaiah seen the Lord lifted up there in the temple in Isaiah chapter number 6, and those seraphims flying through, they said, "Holy, holy, holy." Three times we refer to the Lord as a thrice holy God, and He is. And as we look at this tonight, we think about wisdom. We ought to have the proper fear and respect toward God. And sad to say, many don't. By the decisions they make or the decisions they don't make for the Lord, they don't have that proper fear and that proper respect. But we better make sure we've got an understanding of who God is, because one day we're going to meet Him. I hope you've already met Him at salvation. But if you hadn't met Him at salvation, man, and you die, you'll die and you'll die in your sin and you'll go to a place called hell. But all that can be avoided by trusting Christ tonight. But this poor wise man, I believe there's some things that we can gather from it. Just notice as we go down, in verse number 14, I would say that there was a grim situation. Well, what is the grim situation? Well, notice what the Bible said in verse 14. There was a little city. So here's a little city, and we can gather, Brother Brandon, there probably wasn't a whole lot of strength within this city because it was small in number. The Bible even says there were few, as we read on. There was a little city and few men within it, and there came a great king against it and besieged it and built great bulwarks against it. So here we've got this great king that comes up against this little city. You can see the parallels. I can almost imagine like the David versus Goliath. And here this great king has come against them. So this was a grim situation. The outlook, Brother Harold, didn't look good. I mean, the odds were stacked against this little city with few men within it. This great king comes up and he lays besiege to the city, cutting off their supplies going in and coming out. So he's strangling this city. So we would call this a grim situation. But we also see a genuine search. Notice with me in verse number 15. Now there was found in it. What's the it? That's the little city. In it a poor wise man. Now we know this was a genuine search because the Bible said they found this poor man. Now, when you find something, you got to look for it. You got to search for it. So this grim situation, this little city with few men inside of it, just picture with me in your imagination, this great king comes against it and surrounds and besieges the city. And there's a genuine search. They don't care where the help comes from, but they got to find a solution pretty quick because the great king, odds are against him. And they looked and they found, the Bible said in verse 15, in it a poor wise man. But not only do we see the grim situation and the genuine search, but we see a great solution found in verse 15. Now there was found in it, again, that city, that little city, a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. Now watch this. Yet no man remembered that same poor man. The Bible goes on to say in verse 16, then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. Evidently, it's pretty obvious that the poor man looked at the situation and he levied and he laid out some wisdom of how they could overcome as this great king has besieged this little city. This is a grim situation. Hey, they had a genuine search. They wanted some help. And now we've got a great solution by this poor man, this poor wise man, but they wouldn't heed his warning. I believe that's the point of this whole text. And I'll tell you why, because I see this fourth thing, and then we'll preach to you. Notice there's a grim situation. There's a genuine search. There's a great solution offered by this poor wise man. But I refer to this next phrase. We call this, there was a great solution that was offered, but there was greater stubbornness. Greater stubbornness. What are you talking about? Look with me again in verse 16. The last part of verse 15. Yet no man remembered that same poor man. He's offered the solution. Nobody's listening. Verse 16 then said, "I, wisdom is better than strength." Evidently, there was some inside the city, Brother Branham, one ruler that stood up and said, "Hey, we can overtake this great king." Obviously, that's the picture of this passage, because we go on and we read, "Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised and his words are not heard." Verse 17, "The words of wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools." So you got this poor wise man. He offers a solution, but evidently one of these rulers stood up. And here he says, "Hey, we need to go to battle. We need to go to war against him." Look at verse 18. "Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good." Now, the same holds true. One saint can certainly help the matter when it's wisdom from the Scripture. But here, evidently, nobody paid attention to this poor wise man. A lot of folks may say, "Well, hey, I ain't got a whole lot to offer." I beg to differ. Every one of us has something that you and I can offer unto the Lord. But when we think about this, evidently this poor man's wisdom was ignored. While we can gather this ruler, which was probably a rich man, probably had great fame, probably had great reputation within the city walls, they didn't listen to the poor wise man in quiet. But they listened to the loud crying ruler. And we see that destruction came because the Bible tells us that. We don't know the end of the account. We don't know the end of the story. But we can gather that destruction came because one sinner destroyeth much good. Now Solomon is drawing the parallel and the picture, if you will, of a wise man versus a foolish man. And that's a parallel that is seen throughout the Scripture and throughout the Word of God. Let me just hit just a moment on that last phrase in verse number 18 where it said, "But one sinner destroyeth much good." Time would not permit me in this service tonight, Brother Kevin, to tell you the examples that are found and littered in the Word of God of one sinner destroying much good. Think about Adam, Genesis. One man's disobedience, the Bible said. And we're all a part of that curse. Romans 5, verse number 19 said, "For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." And that's a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. But understand, one sinner, just one, destroyeth much good. What about Achan? Ain't been that long ago. We talked about him, preached on him out of Joshua chapter number 7. Well, down at the coast, we were down there with the kids. But here was a man that he disobeyed God. Joshua chapter number 6, the children of Israel went into the promised land, and they have overtaken Jericho. The first victory that they got, and it was a miraculous victory that they got, and God delivered that. And then in chapter number 7, we see that 36 men died as a result of Achan's sin. And Israel was defeated at the hand of little old Ai in the Word of God. So don't tell me that one sinner don't destroy much good, because they will. Just look at Adam, look at Achan, and then look at David. King David in 2 Samuel chapter number 24 done something that he should have never have did. He should have relied on the arm and the strength of the Lord, but he put his strength in numbers. He began to number Israel. He wanted to know how many he had on his side. And as a result of that, God judged the nation of Israel. And as a result of one man's sin, David, 70,000 men died on that day. 2 Samuel 24 lays that out. One sinner's disobedience, man, leads to a lot of destruction. Much good is destroyed. And we can gather that from the Word of God. And wisdom is desperately and definitely needed in our world today, and counsel and recommended in the Scripture. We see that wisdom. God wants us to have wisdom. God wants us to seek out godly counsel. What is godly counsel? Godly counsel comes from the Word of God. Now, it's sort of like opinions. Sort of like our nose, all of us got one. But understand, what we need is the Scripture. We need the Word of God rightly divided to you and I. But wisdom and counsel is encouraged. How do we know? Think about this in Proverbs 12 and verse number 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. God encourages us. You got a big decision to make. You got something going on spiritually in your life. You better seek godly counsel. Not worldly counsel, but godly counsel. Not some man's opinion, not some woman's opinion, but you better seek what thus saith the Word of God. It'll help you in the long run. And we see that laid out in Proverbs 12:15. Then in Proverbs 11:14, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Now, I don't know anybody that don't want to live in a safe environment, but you know there's safety in a multitude of counselors when it comes to that counsel and that wisdom that we desperately need. And there's something that we have built inside of us, Brother Harold, that we want to do things on our own. Now, am I right about that? We don't want to listen to what. No, we think everything we're going to do is right. But we better make sure it lines up with the Scripture. That is our guide. That is our compass, if you will, for life. Remember that wording that somebody said a long time ago, the Bible, basic instruction before leaving earth, when you spell it B-I-B-L-E. And that's a good thought to have. But we need that wisdom, and we need that instruction. We need that counsel, and there is safety. The Bible says, it goes on to say in Proverbs 20 verse 18, every purpose is established by counsel. Now, a lot of folks, they base whatever they do, Brother Harold, on, well, I feel like. Man, your feeling will get you in trouble. Amen. Yeah, man, well, I'm going to follow my heart. That's one of the worst things you'll ever do. Bible said in the book of Jeremiah that our heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Don't follow your heart. Don't follow your feeling. Don't follow your emotion. You better follow what the Scripture said and what the Word of God said in that wisdom and counsel. That's what we need. But the Bible said, Proverbs 20, verse 18, every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. You know, you can go to Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. Remember, there's time to be born, time to die. There's a time to plant, there's a time to harvest, there's a time to have peace, and there's a time for war. There is times for war to come, but war should be avoided at all costs. But well, you got to understand that you need counsel. You got to have counsel. And that goes back to the context of Ecclesiastes chapter number 9. Evidently, this great king is just a grim situation, man. I mean, this big king, the odds are against me, comes up against this little city, few are inside of it. They had a genuine search. They found this poor, wise man. That's all how he's described in the Word of God. And then we see that he had a great solution. We don't know exactly what that solution was. The Bible does not say. But obviously he had a solution. But here was a greater stubbornness. They didn't heed to the wisdom of the poor man. I believe they heeded unto this ruler, and I believe that poor wise man was quiet according to verse number 17. This ruler is probably loud and obnoxious, said, we're going to do this. And even the Scripture said in verse 18, wisdom is better than weapons of war. And obviously they made the bad decision to follow the advice of the ruler, because the Bible said, but one sinner destroyeth much good. Now, they didn't heed good counsel. Proverbs 24 and verse 6 said, for by wise counsel thou shalt make war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety. We've seen that phrase again in Proverbs 11:14. In the multitude of counselors there is safety. Now, wisdom comes from the Scripture. I hope I've already laid that out. It comes out from the Bible. And it comes from those that have tested the Scripture by firsthand experience, and they've proven that what God said is true. What God's Word said is right by firsthand experience. Now, I can tell you something, but if you've experienced yourself, then you've got firsthand experience with it. You knew that God was faithful. As we went out today, and several said the message this morning touched their heart. And I asked this question to every one of them. Every one of them said, that's right. As they come out, several of them, their spouse has done, went on. And I said, you know, since your spouse was gone, I said, God's been faithful, ain't he? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, he's been faithful. You know why? Because they've tested and they've trusted in the Word of God, and God has proved himself faithful through that dark time, through that difficult time, through that discouraging time. And friend, I'll tell you, the choir sings every once in a while, the youth choir, he never fails, he never has, and he never will. I can remind you again, he's never lost a sheep, he's never lost a battle, he's never lost a case. He ain't going to start with me, and he ain't going to start with you. And we need to understand that tonight. But wisdom comes from the Scripture. But sadly, here's where I'm going with the message tonight. Sadly, wisdom and counsel is either ignored like this poor wise man was, or just flat out rejected. Now listen to me carefully now. God lays out some things for us. And it's up to us. We can accept the wisdom from the Word of God. We can accept that counsel from the Word of God. Or we can ignore it. Well, I'm going to do my own thing. A lot of people do that. And then a lot of people just flat out reject it. I don't care what God said. I'm going to do my own thing. Boy, that's dangerous. Dangerous. When it comes to wisdom and counsel, there's several areas that I'm just going to hit tonight. Very basic. They all start with M. You can probably about gather what they are. We'll say this after. Get after the first one. But think about this. There's things that God has put me in a place and in a position not to. And when I preach, I don't want anybody to ever feel like that, man, the preacher's preaching down on me, because I'm not. The ground's level at the foot of the cross, but God's given me a responsibility. I wouldn't be worth my salt if I didn't tell you the truth. Now, the Bible does say faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. In other words, a friend's going to tell you the truth. An enemy's going to pat you on the back and tell you, continue on in your sin, do your own thing, whatever you want to do, just live it up, have at it. Oh, enemy will do that, but a friend will tell you the truth. This is what God said, and that's what I want to do tonight. And there's four areas that a lot of folks ignore and reject godly wisdom and godly counsel from the Scripture. First of all, when it comes to mortality. Now, when I'm talking about mortality, I'm talking about death. Death is coming. How many times do we stand in the pulpit and preach the gospel? I hope almost every service, because that is our message, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is our hope. Man, our hope ain't in the Pope. Our hope ain't in communion. Our hope ain't in membership. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. I think about that song, in Christ alone. That it's Him. It's Him or it's nothing. It's Him and it's heaven. Anything else will lead you to a place called hell. And we warn folks that, hey, death is coming. Many ignore it. Many reject it. Many just delay it and kick the can down the road and say, well, I'll get saved and I'll get right with God one of these days. But they don't heed godly wisdom and counsel from the Word of God. Friend, don't you know that Jesus loves you, that He died for you? I mean, He went to Calvary's cross, not for His sin, but for you specifically. Well, preacher, nobody cares about it. Nobody loves me. Nobody's concerned at all. That's what the devil wants you to believe. But Jesus loved you enough that He took your place on a cross. And thank God it's a whosoever will. It don't matter if you're red, if you're yellow, you're black or white, if you're rich or you're poor, if you live in a mansion or a hut on the hill, if you live on the mountain, if you live in the valley, if you live in the ocean or you live in the mountains, praise God. I'm glad the blood of Jesus was sufficient for every sinner to get saved. And if you want to go to heaven, Jesus is it. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, John 14:6. We hammer that out. We say it over and over and over again, and many walk out. And you witness to somebody and they'll walk away. They ignore what you say. Or they flat out reject what you say. And boy, there's dangers we'll see in just a minute. There's destruction that comes to those who ignore and reject the wisdom from the Word of God. This poor man in Ecclesiastes 9, obviously Brother Howard had the answer. But they wouldn't listen to him. They don't hear a word he had to say. He wouldn't remember the solution and the wisdom that he gave out. They didn't, nobody want to listen to what he had to say, but he had the answer. And there's many that are still preaching today, preaching the truth. Today, especially in our area, there's a lot of good preachers that are preaching the Word of God, but many are ignoring and rejecting. You got to understand, man, when it comes to mortality, you're going to die. So, well, preacher, I'm young, it don't matter. You're still going to leave out here one of these days. That's why it's so much more important. Go ahead and give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Based on Ecclesiastes chapter number 9, death is certain, life is uncertain. We don't know what tomorrow holds. Man, if you don't know Christ, today is the day of salvation. Right now is the time to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. But we warn and we counsel about mortality, that death is coming. But then second of all, we also talk about it. We try to counsel and give instruction on money. You say, well, surely you ain't going to hit that on a Sunday night. Well, that's where the Lord led me to. Mortality, death. We warn folks and we give counsel about the opportunity to be saved. You better get saved. But there's also counsel and there's wisdom with money. We're living in a world, even our Congress, they ain't got a clue, man, when it comes to spending. I mean, the average man and the average woman do this. You got a checkbook. When you get down so much, you got to quit spending. I mean, you got to cut corners. I mean, that's just simple economics. I mean, if you're, I'll just use an example. If you're bringing in $4,000 a month and you're spending $5,000 a month, that ain't going to work, Brother Brandon. Now, you work in a tire business. I mean, you look at those numbers and you crunch them. And you got to have a balance along the way. But a lot of folks trying to keep, no pun intended, trying to keep up with the Joneses. And so I'm going to spend this, I'm going to spend that. And we live in the day and the age of the mighty credit card. Crazy. Spending money that you don't have. And listen, folks, you better remember this. Proverbs 22 and verse number 7 says this, the borrower is servant to the lender. What's that mean? That means you're enslaved. You in debt? You enslaved. You say, well, I can do what I want to. Yeah, right. You quit working. They'll come get it. Yeah, man. You're slave unto the lender. I hate to know, especially nowadays with the interest rates and all that, that's shooting up. It's unbelievable. But people are just spending and spending and spending. Remember this now. You dig yourself in, you got to dig yourself out. Yeah, man. There ain't no bailouts. Amen. There ain't no bailouts. If you dig yourself in, you got to dig yourself out. A lot of times you try to, and again, we've got this thing inside of us. I don't want nobody telling me what I got to do and this, that, and that. I'm just trying to help you. I don't have any idea what your money, your spending habits are, but I know this, there's instruction. And there's wisdom in the Word of God when it comes to mortality. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. And when it comes to our money and our giving, listen, God is interested in that. He's the one, everything comes from Him anyways. We've got to be careful in this thing. You know, still the number one reason why marriages split apart is because of finances. Proven fact. Proven fact in our world, you can look it up. That's what the number one reason still is money issues. And you give counsel, you give instruction. Many ignore it, many reject it. I'm going to do my own thing. I don't care what the preacher says. You just go read Proverbs 22 and verse number 7. You understand what that says. The borrower is servant to the lender. Even the Bible said in the book of Romans to owe no man anything. It's quiet in here tonight. Praise God. But understand, there's instruction that you give. But a lot of times it's ignored or it's rejected. But we think about mortality. We think about money. Oh, it's going to get better. Then we talk about marriage. Here we are again, man. It seems like the last couple of times we've been talking about marriage. But marriage is needed and it's necessary. Sometimes you try to give advice along the way. I mean, I don't believe in butting in into people's situation. I mean, folks come to me every once in a while. And a lot of times you can tell. They want a certain answer. And when you don't give them that certain answer, they're done with you, man. That's right. When you tell them the truth, hey, this is what God said, this is what the Bible said, a lot of them don't even want to hear what you got to say. But when it comes to marriage, what kind of counsel, what kind of instruction do you give? Well, notice here in our text, we've already hit this, but look at verse number 9 of Ecclesiastes 9. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity. I preached that message just a week or so, not even a week ago. Now, love your wife for the rest of your life. Same thing holds true for the wife to love her husband as long as you live. That's the marriage. God never intended to be two and three and four and five wives and husbands. God intended for one man and one woman. Again, if you've done crossed that bridge in the past, you can't go back and punt and change that. But from a preventative standpoint, listen, make sure you marry right. A lot of folks say, well, I don't care what the preacher said. I don't care what the Bible said. I'm going to do my own thing. Yeah, you go ahead. There's consequences to apply. Just remember that. Wisdom and instruction and counsel is necessary. And there's a lot of folks make decisions in life. I'm talking about within the church sometimes. They never seek wisdom. They never seek counsel from the Word of God. And a lot of times they don't do that, Brother Harold, because they already know what the preacher's going to say, because he's going to bring up the Word of God. Listen, I have nothing else to offer. I could say, well, you know what? I feel like you ought to do this, or my opinion is this, but that'd be wrong. From my standpoint, I cannot give you anything other than what the Word of God says. You say, well, it's 2023, preacher, times have changed. Hey, God ain't changed His mind about it. And when it comes to marriage, make sure you don't ignore what God says. Make sure you don't reject what God says, but we warn in these areas, we give out counsel, Brother Brandon, about mortality. Yeah, you're going to die one day, and if you ain't saved, you better quit playing games with God. You better give your heart and life to Jesus right now. Get saved while you still got time and opportunity. But number two, we think about money. God's got a lot of wisdom and instruction on that. Then He talks about marriage, and then He talks about ministry. There's ministry that we ought to be instructed on. And we ought to have counsel about what is it. We've already hit this too. It's found right here in Ecclesiastes 9. In verse number 10. There's a lot of instruction just about basic living in Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Look at verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. I mean ministry. There's things that you can certainly encourage folks and give them wisdom and instruction as they navigate through this life. And we're part of a team here at Faith Community Baptist Church. Listen, there's no identical twins here, by the way. I mean, we're in the church body, and a lot of you, all of us got different talents, different skills, different abilities, different mindsets, so to speak, and different personalities, but God has meshed us together as one local body to work together. And it's one of my responsibilities to make sure if somebody wants to get involved, man, we'll get you involved. We'll get you involved. But whatever your hand finds to do, don't do it half-heartedly. Don't do it halfway. Do it with all your might. Now, you're going to have bad days. I remember Brother Bud Davis told me this one time. You know, some of them services, you go out, and Brother Brandon, I've had a bunch, and Brother Evan, I've had a ton of these, where you go out and you feel like, man, you just struck out. Now, preachers know what I'm talking about. I mean, you give everything you got, and you say, man, I just struck out, wouldn't get nowhere. I remember Brother Bud Davis, he always come out, and he'd always say thank you. One of those days when I felt like, man, I didn't get nowhere. Wasn't nobody listening. There's distractions going on, and nobody's getting a thing. Old Brother Bud Davis come out with tears in his eyes. He'd say, thank you, preacher, for the preached word. That's what he'd say. And he told me this one time. He said, Brother Brian, he said, just remember, he said, Babe Ruth hit a whole lot of home runs, but he struck out a whole lot too. He probably still holds the major league record for the most strikeouts. He's known for his home runs, but he struck out a lot too. Listen, there may be times where you feel like you want to strike out, but you put forth the best effort. Listen, when I come up here and I get ready to preach, man, I want to be prepared. I want to be ready to give what I can for the Lord. But it doesn't matter. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. Well, guess what? If you're working in a nursery, you're working in the sound, you're working with the kids, whatever you're doing, cleaning the church, it makes no difference. Do it with all you might. That's ministry. That's wisdom. That's instruction that God gives. And some folks say, well, I don't care what the preacher said. I've been here 40 years. I'll do what I want to do. Well, you're ignoring or rejecting what God said. Amen. Amen. And think about it. Even Gracie said, that's right. Praise the Lord. Now, we think about this. Oftentimes, these things, mortality, marriage, money, ministry. But somebody might say, when a preacher, what would happen if I spurn godly wisdom and godly counsel? What's going to happen if I ignore or just reject what the Bible said? I got two passages I'm going to give you. You know them well. The first one is Matthew 7. You don't have to turn there, but I encourage you to jot this down. Matthew 7, verse number 24. You know this very, very well when I start reading this. What if I don't listen? What if I don't heed to what God told me to do? Well, preacher, I know that you just said I need to get saved, but I ain't saved. Well, what's going to happen now? Preacher, I know what you said about money, and that's the instruction you give. I know what you said about marriage, and I know what you said about ministry, to find something to do and then do it with all you might, not half heart, not half in and half out, not up, not down, not in and out, but just when you get in there, get in it full strength. What if I don't do that? Well, there is destruction sometimes, and sometimes there's damage. God may spare your life, and He may not. But you can rest assured when you spurn intentionally, what you know to be true from the Word of God, and you ignore it, and you reject it. Listen to what God said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, so the Lord Jesus has laid out these sayings, whoever hears it. So He's given the instruction. He's given what the Bible said. That whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon rocks. Here we've got an individual. Jesus said, I'm going to liken you unto somebody that when they hear the counsel, when they hear what I'm saying, they hear that wisdom, they hear that counsel, and they listen to what I say unto them, I'm going to liken them unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And the Bible said the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, they beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. That rock foundation, which is based upon giving heed to the Word of God. Then He gives this other example in the very next verse, in verse number 25. Or verse number 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now here's two examples, two different houses, two different foundations, two different people. One is classified as wise, the other one is classified as foolish. You know what that foolish in the Greek is? It's moros. We get our English word moron from, literally, seriously. We get our English word moron for folks that do not heed what God says to do. And here's an individual that Jesus tells him, He gives them instruction, He gives them wisdom, this is what I want you to do, and they don't do it. He said, well, I liken you unto this man has built his house upon a sand. And the same thing happened to the fellow that built his house on the rock. The rain still come. The storms still come, the winds blew, and it beat upon that house, but they had one fundamental difference. The man that built his house on the rock, it stood. That's the one that heeded the warning, heeded the counsels of the Lord. But here, this fella that didn't do what God wanted him to do is likened unto a foolish man because he built his house on the sand, and the Bible said great was the fall of that house. It sort of parallels Ecclesiastes chapter 9. There in verse number 18, where one sinner destroyeth much good. Destruction awaits those that ignore and reject the counsel that God offers. Then I got one more passage in the book of Acts chapter number 27. Now the Apostle Paul is on his voyage to Rome. That's the direction he's headed. And we know the sovereign hand of God is guiding that. But Paul, when he started out, he's with some seasoned mariners. He's a prisoner. These fellows knew what they were doing. They had navigated the sea, Brother Harold, their whole life. They had listened to the captain of the ship. They had listened to the mariners that were on board. But listen to what the Apostle Paul, he gave some advice. He gave some wisdom. He gave some counsel. Now stay with me. In Acts 27 and verse 10, or verse number 9, now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, verse 11 of Acts 27, we see Paul gives him, he said, listen, I perceive there's going to be great hurt and damage of the ship and even the lives of the men on board. He's saying, hey, we might better not go any further. But notice verse 11. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. We could liken Paul unto a poor wise man. He's a slave. What's he got any say for? Here's the guy that's running the ship. You think he's going to listen to a slave that's in the care of the Roman government, that's going to Rome to stand trial because he's preaching the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? They didn't even pay attention to him. He was forgot about. He wasn't listened to. But the loud fell in the back. Oh, yeah, he listened to him. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship. Paul said, hey, we got this thing under control. Well, what happened, preacher? Well, you'll find as you read on in Acts 27 that 276 were on board, and all 276 made it to shore. You say, well, what was the big deal? Well, the ship was tore all to pieces. The ship was damaged. Oh, yeah, they made it alive. Some swam when that ship stuck into the sand and the waves beat against it. It began to tear it apart, and the centurion said, hey, whoever can swim, you swim to shore. But then the others floated, the Bible said, some on broken boards and pieces of the ship. They all got to that island of Melita in Acts 28. Well, preacher, what's the point there? Listen, God may spare your life. Paul gave them wisdom. He said, I perceive there's going to be much hurt with this. If they had listened, they could have avoided a lot of the damage. Now, their lives were spared, but they had a lot of damage in their lives. Did you know there's a lot of young people, make a decision for Christ at an early age will prevent you from damaging your life and your testimony as you move forward. But many will ignore that, Brother Kevin. Many will reject that. And it's a choice. I mean, this preacher ain't going to get you, ain't going to get a gun and hold it to your head and say, well, you got to do this, you got to do that. No, I'm going to lay out what the Word of God said. I'm going to love you before, I'm going to love you after. It's ultimately up to you. But I've seen many that have heard godly counsel, listened to godly wisdom through the preaching of the Word of God. This is what the Bible said. They go the polar opposite direction, do something else, and yeah, God may spare their life, but they're damaged. And all could be avoided if you simply heed what God said. This poor wise man in Ecclesiastes chapter number 9, so many lessons, man, that I can learn from Ecclesiastes chapter number 9. But understand this, God sets up wisdom. God sets up instruction. God sets up a guidebook right here in His Word for us to follow. But we'll do one of two things as Sister Savannah comes. We'll ignore it. We'll do three things. We can believe it and follow it, or we can ignore it and we can reject what God said. And if you're here tonight, you've never been saved. Man, listen, Jesus loves you, and it's up to you. I've tried my best. Listen, if you want to go to heaven, you want to miss hell, you got to go God's way, but it's up to you. Some of you may have some money issues. I have no idea. Man, I ain't been reading your mail. And don't get mad at the mailman either, by the way. A lot of, you know, you never go out to the car or out to the mailbox and open up the mailbox and look inside and get that letter for your mortgage or your truck payment or your car. But you don't ever say, man, that sorry mailman brought me my bill. Wasn't the mailman's fault. You the one that went into that debt. You the one went into that mess. It wasn't the mailman's fault. It ain't my fault. I'm just giving you some wisdom and some instruction that, man, I wish, and thank God I had some good instruction and wisdom growing up. I didn't heed everything. And it cost me some things. I suffered some damage in life. But now I can tell you, when you follow the plan and the program and the purpose of God, man, there's blessings on the side of obedience. But it's up to you. You can receive what God said. You can reject it. Some of you marriages may have an issue. I have no idea. Some of you in ministry, you sputtering around in and out. Can't figure out what you're going to do. That's because you need to find what you're doing and put your hand to it and do it with all your might. But it's up to you. Tonight as we stand all over the house, let's pray. Father, I love you. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, to stand one more time, preach your word. Lord, I've done my best. Preach the message of the hour, and a God you never need in this building this evening. Father, I pray if there's one here tonight that's unsaved, unprepared for eternity, God, may tonight be the night of salvation. Lord, I've done my best to deliver the message of the hour, God, what you placed on our heart. Pray for those who may be struggling, God, in the money department, in the marriage department, in the ministry department, even in the mortality department. Lord, I pray that you'd help them see that you love them, you care for them, you want to save them, that death is on their trail. Hell will be their home apart from Christ. God, would you move during this invitation time. Do a great work, God, greater than what you've even done here in the last little bit here at the church. Work in hearts and lives of people. God, help us to have enough sense to obey your wisdom, your instruction, your guidance that you give us in your word. We'll be careful. Give you thanks and give you praise for all you do. For we ask these things in Jesus' name.
Hello, friends. This is Brian Poindexter, the pastor of Faith Community Baptist Church, located at 2216 Hennings Road in East Bend, North Carolina. We're so grateful to have you listening to our CD ministry that's been provided as an outreach of our church. It's our desire and focus at Faith Community Baptist Church to preach and teach the whole counsel of God to a lost and dying world, to equip the saints of God for service, and to encourage the elderly and shut-ins who cannot attend services due to physical ailments. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for Sunday school for all ages, and our Sunday school hour is followed by our worship service at 11 a.m. with old-fashioned singing and preaching from the Word of God. We meet back every Sunday night at 6 p.m. for our worship service, and every second Sunday night of each month we have what's called an eat and meet service. After our 6 p.m. service, we gather in the fellowship hall for food and fellowship. On Wednesdays, we meet back at the church for our midweek worship service with choir singing and preaching again from God's holy word. Our ladies prepare a meal each Wednesday prior to our service from 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. I give you and your family a cordial invitation to be with us at any or all of our service times. Above all, you may be listening today, and maybe you've never made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, that's the greatest decision anyone can ever make in this life. Too many folks prepare for vacation, they prepare for retirement, they seem to prepare for everything, but sad to say, many make no preparations for eternity. The reality is very clear. We all will leave this world someday. For the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." You must understand that you are guilty before a holy God. Romans 3:23 said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The prophet Isaiah said in chapter 53 and verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." You must understand that your good words, good works, and good deeds will not get you to heaven. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, "But we are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible said, "Therefore by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." You must understand that you're loved. I'm thankful that in John 3 and verse 16 it said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Romans 5 and verse 8 declares, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You must understand and realize there's only one way to stand right before God. There's not many ways, there's only one. Jesus said in John 14 and verse number 6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the apostles' message was very simple. There in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, they said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." You might ask the question, "Preacher, how can I be saved?" That's what the Philippian jailer asked in Acts chapter 16, verse 30 and 31. He asked Paul and Silas, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Romans 10:9 said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You must ask God to save you. I can't do it. No one can do it for you. Romans 10:13 said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you know you're a sinner, and if you're sorry for your sin, and you believe Jesus died for your sins, you simply have to ask him to save you. You might say, "Preacher, how can I know for sure God will hear me?" But first of all, the Bible tells us that we must be drawn. John 6 and verse 44, Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Psalm 51 and verse 17 gives us the attitude we need to have when we come to God. It said there, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. If God draws you by conviction, and if you're sorry for your sin, you repent of them. If you believe Jesus died for your sins, and if you asked Him to save you, then the Bible declares you've been saved. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you've been forgiven of all your sin. Romans 8:1 declares, there is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Once a person has been saved, they need to be a part of a fundamental Bible-believing church where they can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. God calls us out of darkness and commands us to walk in light after we've been saved by His marvelous grace. If we can help you here at Faith Community Baptist Church in any way, feel free to contact us. If you have asked God to save you, please contact us, and we will send you some free literature to help you in your newfound life in Christ. Thank you again for listening to our CD ministry that's been provided by our church here, and may God richly bless you and your family is our prayer.